Let's each pray to prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment to pray, let me suggest that you tell God you want to learn His ways and want to live by them. God, we are very familiar with the grace that you've given us in Jesus Christ, that as a free gift you have saved us through our faith in Jesus Christ. But God, we are to continue to live in grace. And one of the graces that you give us that we may not be as familiar with is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who helps us to live the ways that you want us to live. And so, God, I pray that we might embrace that grace as readily as we embrace the grace of salvation in Jesus Christ. Teach us about it today and help our minds to accept these truths. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today we're continuing our series about sharing Christ with non-Christians, which is the greatest news that they could ever hear. Last week we learned the content of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because we learned that the Holy Spirit can bring to remembrance things that we've already learned. So we're supposed to put God's Word, we're supposed to put this part of God's Word, the gospel, into us so that the Holy Spirit can bring it up, bring it to remembrance when we need it. And today we're going to see more of the tremendous help that we have to be able to share Christ with non-Christians. How many of you, raise your hand if you've ever been a witness in a courtroom, like you were called to go up on the stand and testify? Just a few. I've never done it, but I imagine it would be very nerve-wracking. And even if you haven't been up on a stand, which most of us have not, I would imagine that most of us know from like TV dramas, right? Raise your hand if you've seen a TV drama where somebody has gone up on the witness stand. Yeah. And so what you've seen there is that before they go up on the stand, the witness is taken like in a room somewhere, I don't know where they go, and the lawyer is with them, and the lawyer like preps the witness, trying to like prep them for what to say and how they're going to get questioned and even attacked and those kind of things to prepare them so that when they get on the stand, they're not as freaked out and they can testify without stumbling and without, you know, falling to the attacks of the other lawyer and that kind of stuff, right? You all seen that? Okay. Not many of us have been called to actually witness in a courtroom, but we will be in other situations where we will be called to testify if you are a Christian, where you'll be talking to a non-Christian and you'll have this sense inside you that God is asking you to speak about Christ to the non-Christian in front of you. Last week we learned about that being like God's opening a door, right? Opening a door for you to walk through. He's giving you access to talk about Jesus with this person. And that can be pretty nerve-wracking. In fact, most of us have faced situations like that, and it was so nerve-wracking that you didn't talk about Jesus. And that's what happens oftentimes in those situations, is we don't speak about Christ because we're afraid. Well, we have someone to help us. Someone like the lawyer helps that witness to prepare for the courtroom so that they're not freaking out and they can testify better. We have someone to help us to do that when we are called to testify about Christ. Turn your Bible to the Gospel of John. John chapter 16. We're going to start about in the middle of John chapter 16, if you got a page break there. The time period that we're going to read about here, Jesus was going to be dying soon, and he would raise from the dead and go to heaven, which meant he would no longer be physically present walking around with these disciples anymore. And he had been walking around with these disciples for years every single day. They went everywhere together. They slept in the same places. They ate meals together. Jesus was leading them. He was teaching them. He was talking to them. And he's saying, I'm leaving. And he was preparing them for that. Let's look at Jesus' words from John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. There's this young man. I led him to Christ when he was about 16 years old, and I got to disciple him for a couple years. He was kind of by my side, like all the time. And I still talk to this guy, even though we live across the valley from each other. We still talk on a regular basis. And inevitably, when we would get into a difficult situation, he would say, I wish Jesus was here, like he was with the disciples, you know, where he was right there beside him so that he could tell me what to do. He would say that all the time. I probably heard it hundreds of times. I still hear it on the phone every now and then. And I bet a lot of other Christians think that same thing. I wish Jesus were right here so I could touch him, so I could hear him. But did you hear in that verse what Jesus said? It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. This is the same reality that I share with that young man on a regular basis, and to try to change his mind about, I need physical Jesus here. Even for the guys who had Jesus, that's who he's talking to, right? Jesus was saying this, that the guys who literally had Jesus by their side, walking around with them, leading them, Jesus said to them, it would be advantageous for him to go away and the Helper to come. And in verse 13, the Helper is identified as the Holy Spirit. This is how God has done it, for whatever reason. Jesus told them in his speech as he was preparing to go away that the Spirit had been with them because he was in Jesus, in this special presence in Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit had been going around with them just like Jesus was, but the new situation was going to be, it would be in them. The Holy Spirit would come into them when Jesus ascended to heaven. Recorded two chapters earlier, Jesus told that to the disciples in John 14, 17, if you're wondering, that the Holy Spirit would live inside of them. And the Holy Spirit now, according to the rest of the New Testament, lives inside of each one of us. And he comes to live inside of us the very moment that you trust Jesus. And he, the Holy Spirit, is our helper. The Greek word translated helper means one called to someone's aid. And you go, duh, thanks for sharing the Greek with me. That's kind of what helper means. But there's more to this. Here's how he was called to someone's aid. The Greek word for helper in the Roman world, this word here, parakletos, which you know the Holy Spirit is a paraclete, the word is parakletos, and this Greek word in the Roman world was often referred to someone who helps another at a court trial, like in my beginning analogy where the lawyer would prep the witness. Did you get that? So this word, helper, has the specific connotation of someone who helps prep a witness for testifying. So we think of the Holy Spirit, many of us who know things about the Holy Spirit, think of the Holy Spirit as our helper, and we think about that in a very broad context, and he probably is, but most specifically, he was given by God as our helper to help us testify about Jesus. And that's the context in which he's given this. Christ followers are called to testify about Christ to non-Christians. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to do that. Now, take a piece of paper, not your sermon notes, but if you got a bulletin or some other piece of paper, stick it in your Bible right there. I'm going to do that this time because I didn't last service. And I took longer getting back than you. We're going to come back to that. Flip maybe a couple of millimeters back to the Gospel of Matthew, backward in your Bible, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. This passage will give us information about how the Holy Spirit helps us to testify. Chapter 10, it was a speech that Jesus gave to his 12 closest disciples before he was about to send them out on a short-term mission trip where they were going to go and share Jesus with Jews. Let's start with verse 17. Beware of the people, for they will hand you over to the Sanhedrin, and in their synagogues they will flog you. So the disciples were going to go share the good news of Jesus, and the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, would arrest them, put them on trial, probably because they would say, this Jesus that you're proclaiming is a false Messiah. They were expecting the Messiah Savior to come, and the disciples were claiming that's Jesus, and the Jewish council would say, you guys are liars. And they would convict them and beat them with whips. Yikes. Now, who was sending them? Jesus, right? And they're going to get beat with whips? Jesus knew beforehand what was going to happen to them, what they were going to face, and he was sending them anyway. This is true for us in our day. It is communicated throughout the New Testament that if you trust Christ, you are going to suffer. And one of the things that we can suffer for is sharing the good news about Jesus. And Jesus sends us anyway. He's not surprised. He preps us for it. We shouldn't be surprised. We should prep ourselves for it. We're going to have a whole sermon on persecution next week, but for today, this should make us realize, even more if we didn't realize it already, how much we need God's help to do this. Threat of suffering and or actually suffering may make us back off from testifying. Most of us have done it at some point. Backed off from testifying when we felt like we should, but we shouldn't. If we know the Lord wants us to share, we shouldn't back off. We shouldn't chicken out. Rather, what we should do is depend on Him. That's what we're learning here, is that we should depend on Him because we have the help available. We need to depend on it. Look at what we have available to help us, verses 18 to 20. And you will be brought before governors and also kings on account of me as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry how or what you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you shall speak. For you are not the ones speaking, but rather the Spirit of your Father is the one speaking in you. Now, first of all, I want to point out that these truths didn't only apply to that one mission trip. Because, recorded earlier in the passage, the particular mission trip that they were going on, Jesus specifically told them, do not go amongst the Gentiles. But here he says that the Gentiles will be witness to. Now, it may be indirectly, like, hey, the Gentiles will be standing around. But we have no record that on this particular mission trip, any of the disciples got arrested, that they went before the Sanhedrin, that they got whipped, that there were, and even if that happened, that any Gentiles were standing around. So what it seems like Jesus is doing here is he's looking past that particular mission trip and he's saying, here's what you will face, big picture. That means, at least as far as this part of the speech, Jesus was telling them the future. Jesus was talking about what would happen in the disciples' long-term mission, which would largely take place after Jesus had died. So the principles we find here at least transcend this one mission trip. We might still go, well, it applies to those guys, but it at least transcended that mission trip. Jesus said they would be brought before kings and governors to testify. Now think about that. These were mostly uneducated fishermen. And Jesus tells them they're going to come before kings and governors to testify. So for yourself, to kind of put yourself in those shaking boots, imagine that you're called before Congress to testify. Not even just about Jesus, about whatever. Scared? I stand up here and preach every week, and I think I would be, you know, my heart would probably be at 110 beats a minute, and I'd be shaking in front of Congress. And he's telling these uneducated fishermen, you're going to testify before kings and governors. So Jesus understands what it is that we face when we're testifying. He understands the fear. He understands the threat. Testifying about Jesus to a neighbor or a coworker may be intimidating or scary for us. In part because we may not feel like we know enough to share the gospel well. But Jesus said to them, and I think his words transcend them and speak to us, to say, don't worry. Don't worry. This is a discipline, in a sense, not to worry. This is something you need to develop in your life. Many of you might be familiar that outside of the context of witnessing, that we're told generally not to worry about our lives, like the things that we'll eat and the clothing and things like that. Not to worry. And we're told just generally not to worry. So here's what worry is. There's a root word to it that means to be concerned. And the Bible doesn't tell us not to be concerned about things. We're going to naturally be concerned about things. But this word to worry means to take the thing that we're naturally concerned about and stick it in our brain and spin it around again and again and again until we're frenzied over it. Anxiety is what it's often translated. It's the spinning of these things in our brains. And we're supposed to develop a discipline of, when it's here at the level of concern, I pray and give it to God so that instead of sticking it in my head and spinning it around, I give it to God. So it's a discipline of doing that, of praying instead of worrying. And I would say this is a discipline as well. We need to teach ourselves that when I get into a witnessing situation, not to worry. And this information that we're gaining today about what's happening in that situation, how God is available to help us, and that it's not all on us, I think is what is helpful to us not worrying. Jesus was giving them this information about how the Holy Spirit works so that they wouldn't worry. And so the same should be true for us. So rather than worry, we need to trust God that He will give us what we need to testify about Jesus like He promised those disciples. When the disciples were in those difficult witnessing situations, Jesus told them not to worry specifically about how or what to speak. Now notice there's two things there. If your translation brings this out, how or what to speak. Those aren't the same thing. They're two different things. So what they should say would be, quote, given to them at the time. So when you're in that situation and you're worried about, I don't know what to say, you have the Holy Spirit that'll help you. He'll bring to remembrance, we learned last week, right? He'll bring to remembrance the things that you know and help you with what to say. Now this word how speaks of the mechanism, the situation. So it implies that, we've talked about this in past weeks, that every individual that stands in front of you is a unique individual. And so their life is different, their situations are different, the questions that they have are different. And we need to talk to that person as an individual. We learn that we need to learn how to respond to each one, right? So I think this is implying that the Holy Spirit helps us with that. The how is he's going to help you with how do you talk to this individual in their situation and this moment. He helps with both. How do you approach it and what do you say? The Holy Spirit is there to help. This is a tremendous help that God gives us for doing what he wants us to do so that we can be his witnesses like he wants us to be. Even if what Jesus promised the apostles, we can't claim as direct promises to us. It seems to me that if God would do this for them, that he would at least do a similar thing for us. All of us who trust Christ do have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we know from the whole Bible that God provides the resources for the things that he wants people to do. So let's take something more familiar, but just as supernatural, that we can relate to, because we have a hard time with this Holy Spirit stuff, and especially in witnessing, that might be a new concept for you. So let's take something we're a little bit more familiar with, but just as supernatural, serving in the church. Most of you know that every Christian is supposed to serve in the church, and most of you, as I look out there, you do serve in the church. And most of you also know that the Holy Spirit provides a power. He provides what's called a gifting for you to be able to do that ministry in a way that you couldn't do it on your own. So what's God doing? He wants you to achieve something in the life of his church, and he provides the resource for you to be able to do it effectively. So he wants you to do something. He provides the resource. We talk about this all the time with giving. God asks every single one of us to give to his kingdom work. And the Bible tells us that he has given each of us a portion of what we earn that he intends for us to give. So he's given us the thing he wants us to give away. The things he wants us to do, the things he wants us to be faithful in, he has given us the resources to be able to do them. So if he wants us to be witnesses for him, which we have seen in previous weeks that he surely does, then we need to believe that he's given us the resources to be able to do it. And so, when we are brought before neighbors or a coworker or a family member or grocery store clerk, we have the Holy Spirit to help us with how we should approach that situation and what we should speak. When you imagine a situation where you might have opportunity to share Christ, do you worry that you won't have the right thing to say? Or that you don't know enough to testify about Jesus? Well, I think we should take Jesus' admonition not to worry. Develop the discipline of that, not to worry, and trust instead that if he wants you to be his witness, if he's calling you to be his witness, that he will give you what you need to be able to do it. Some of you are worried right now, just at the thought of sharing Jesus with someone. If one of your neighbors or coworkers or whatever that's a non-Christian or a family member who's mean or whatever came into your mind, you're like a little bit freaking out. Let's take Jesus' admonition not to worry. I want to take a moment right now. We're not done yet with our study here, but let's take a moment of break here in the middle. Bow your head if you would. And I want to suggest you tell Jesus that you will be his witness and you don't want to worry, and instead you'll trust him in the work of the Spirit to make you able. Okay. So before the Spirit can even tell us what to say, how do we even know when we're supposed to testify about Jesus? I think it's implied by that word, how. He will tell you how and what you're supposed to speak. And so that how is mechanism of the situation. I think that the Holy Spirit, stepping away from the Bible, this is kind of interpretation and kind of experience, is that when you're in a moment that you can sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you, this is an open door. take it. Speak about Jesus. And sometimes it's not. And we shouldn't speak. Maybe we would do some harm by speaking in a situation where we shouldn't. And so we should listen. He it says right here, Jesus said, "It will be given to you in that hour." So at that moment, it seems in every situation, at the very time that we're supposed to testify, the Holy Spirit will be speaking in us so that we'll know we're supposed to tell them. We're about Jesus. So, when I'm in a conversation with a non-Christian, I've developed this discipline over a whole bunch of years, 20 years that I've been working on this, where I start out, as soon as I realize I'm standing with a non-Christian, where I try to pray. And I pray something like, if I'm supposed to talk to this person about Jesus, tell me and give me the right words to speak. Now, if I know I'm going to interact with a Christian that day, a non-Christian that day, in the morning even, I'll pray that. But sometimes you get surprised and you're just face to face with somebody you didn't expect, and I try to do it right in that moment. I just pray while I'm standing there with them. Help me know if I'm supposed to speak and what I'm supposed to speak. Now, when I'm having a conversation with this person, I've tried to develop this discipline of continuing what I call my two-way conversation. I'm talking to them, and I'm talking to God at the same time. I'm speaking out loud to them, and I'm speaking in my head to God. The whole time, I'm saying things like, when do I speak? What should I say next? How should I answer that question? Should I talk about this? Should I talk about that? I don't know what to say. And then I'm speaking with them. Let me equate this to an experience most of you are familiar with. You're talking with somebody here at church that you've just met. And you're a little bit nervous. And so you're sitting there in your head going, are they done with their story? Should I speak now? Should I tell a story that's kind of like their story? I don't want to one-up them, but should I tell that story? I forgot their name. Should I ask them their name again? Right? You got this stuff going on in your head. So like you do that between your head while you're having this conversation with the newcomer at church, have a conversation with God while you're talking to the non-Christian. Let him lead this process. And then what we're going to talk about next is that it's not just a two-way conversation here. There's actually a third conversation that's going on between God and this person. The reason that I do that is because of what I read here and because I don't want it to be my agenda with the person. God has an agenda with this person. God knows that person. He knows their soul. He knows how he created them. He knows everything about them. He's got plans for them. He knows their past. He knows their future. I don't know all that stuff, and I don't have plans for all that stuff, but he does. And so I'm just joining him in the work he's doing. And so I try to let him lead the whole process. So here's what it's like for me. My wife, many of you know, she's in sales and marketing. And so she knows hundreds of people. She's talking to people all the time. And every now, she likes me to go and meet her clients. She likes me to go and meet all these people that she interacts with. And so she invites me to things, and I go to these parties and things like that. And what I do when I'm there is I could just walk in and kind of take over, turn personality on and take over and go shaking hands and all this stuff, but I don't do that. Because I go, these are her clients, this is her business, she wants me here, I'm coming alongside her in her thing. And so what I do instead is I come up and I stand beside her and I let her introduce me. And I let her kind of turn to me when she wants, I know she wants me to talk. Or when she wants me to interact with this person and whatever. I'm taking her clues as to what she wants me to do to help her with this person. Does that make sense? So a similar thing with God is he knows what's going on. This is his person. This is his client in a sense. We're just coming in and joining, hopefully to help. And so we need to let him run the agenda. And we're just joining. Now, flip back in your bookmark there to John 16. We're going to see about how this third conversation is happening. We already looked at verse 7 where we learned that the Holy Spirit is our helper and that word helper refers to someone who helps another at a trial, at a court trial, to testify. And I think what we just studied in Matthew 10 explains how that works. Like a lawyer preps the witness to help them when they in the court, when they're on the stand and they're nervous, the Holy Spirit helps us to speak the right things and to not worry when we're testifying about Christ. And I think all that alone is a tremendous encouragement toward us not worrying and toward us being witnesses. But look at John 16, verses 8 and 9, because there's even more good news here that helps us. Referring to the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "And He, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me." I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to take the time to explain every piece of what this means, but just note a couple of clear points from this. This is the work that the Holy Spirit does on those who do not believe in Jesus. You see that at the end of verse 9 there? Because they do not believe. So this is work that the Holy Spirit does on those who do not believe in Jesus. The reason this has to be said is because we tend to just think of the Holy Spirit as in us Christians and working there, and we don't think about His work with non-Christians. But He is working with non-Christians, not from inside them, but on them. Also notice, He says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world. See that? The world. And I'll go on to tell you what He convicts them of, but the world in John usually refers to non-Christians, non-believers. So the Holy Spirit is working on them. It says to convict them of three things. So we tend to think that we need to be convicting of the person, but God is at work there. If God is at work there, He's doing it. He's convicting them concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I think what that means is He's convicting them that they're a sinner. He's convicting them that they are not righteous, which means they're not right with God. And He's convicting them of judgment, meaning that they're heading toward judgment. They're sinners, not right with God, going to be judged. That's happening inside them somewhere at the moment that I'm talking to them. Or that's happening on them somehow by the Holy Spirit while I'm talking to them. So the Holy Spirit not only speaks to us Christians from inside of us to help us witness, but He is working on the non-Christian that we're speaking to also. So I hope we can all clearly see us testifying about Christ is not a work that we do alone. We have tremendous help from God. And as a matter of fact, bringing someone to Christ is not primarily our work at all. It's God's work that we are joining Him in, and it should be a privilege to come alongside Him and join Him. Like when my wife wants to introduce me to her clients and thinks it's like cool that I'm there and cool to meet clients, like I kind of feel like, wow, she views this as like a privilege for me to be here. We should view it that way, that it's a privilege for us to join God. So, we shouldn't be afraid. Because He's running it. He's got the agenda. And He is also helping us with everything that needs to happen. And so we don't need to know enough. We don't need to be convicting enough. We just need to be willing and dependent upon God. So let me put all this together, what we've learned in the last few weeks together with this. Our witness starts with our behavior. That includes us living God's ways every day, good and righteous. It also means that the things that we speak are supposed to be God's ways towards non-Christians. And the ways that He wants us to speak towards non-Christians are supposed to be like, do you remember what this is supposed to be like when we speak? Like gifts. Like every time we speak, it's a gift to the person that we're speaking to. And we should be ready to speak about Christ specifically. And so we need to prepare for that in a couple ways. One of the ways that we need to prepare is get ourselves willing to speak. And we also need to prepare with prayer so that we recognize the open door, we recognize the opportunity, help us to not be afraid, all those things. One thing to pray for is opportunities, open doors to speak about Christ. When God gives an opportunity, we should speak as we ought. How do we know what we ought to speak? Listen to the Holy Spirit. What should we say? Well, we've learned the past few weeks that we should speak about Christ. Not just spiritual mumbo jumbo. We're supposed to speak about Christ if He's really opening a door. And we've learned elements of the gospel, and I've challenged you all to study the gospel and get it in there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, we learned last week, uses what's already in us of God's Word to pull it out at the moment that it's needed. Why He set it up that way exactly, I don't know. But that's the way it's supposed to be, is that we're supposed to get it in us and then the Holy Spirit brings it out. And for specifics on what to share it with a given person at a given moment, we should be listening to the Holy Spirit. God is at work in people, and we are joining Him in His work. So we can let God lead the whole process, depending on Him and not worry. I want to ask you all, if you would, if you have an opportunity to share Christ where you feel like, you know, that door to somebody else's life is open and you speak about Christ, no matter what happens, if they completely shut you down the second that you start to speak about Christ, or all the way to they trusted Jesus, anywhere in between, would you share that with me? Because I'd like to hear about it. It'd be encouraging. I'd also might have opportunity where it fits, where we could share it from up here. I'll remove the names and sanitize it so that, you know, nobody knows who that is. But I'd love it if you would share those with me. And like I said, they don't have to come to Christ, because that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is just to be faithful to speak. And whatever the results is the results. Leave that up to God. What questions do you have for me? About not only about today's passage and sermon, but anything that we've learned in this whole series. Questions? Yeah. Like how do I know the difference between this is just kind of my conscience saying, you need to speak about Jesus, versus the Holy Spirit saying, this is the moment. This is an open door. I don't know exactly. From the scriptures, I would experientially, for myself and a lot of other Christians that I've talked to, there seems to be a learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit over the course of your Christian life, that you just learn to sense how He speaks in us. But one of the things that always has to be, we have to balance. Almost every truth in the Bible has balance with a couple things that we have to hold together. And if we go too extreme one way, we're usually wrong, often sinful, and sometimes heretical. And so it's not just like, so that can get really extreme. Is like the Holy Spirit's just speaking to me all the time, and He tells me all these things, and people will say crazy things that are contradictory to the Scripture, that the Holy Spirit told me to do this. Well, that was not the Holy Spirit if it contradicts God's Word, because God never contradicts Himself. So the other balance to that is the Holy Spirit is going to speak things that are consistent with God's truth. And so when we know the Word of God better, we can discern better what if that is the Holy Spirit. And that might be one of the reasons why He does it the way He does it, instead of just, you know, always supernaturally just bringing words to us, which He can do. And the Bible, you know, speaks to that He can give a gifting of that, just of prophecy, right? Of speaking whatever He wants us to speak in the moment. But the normal, it seems, is that we're supposed to study the Word of God, and He brings that back to our minds. And that's how we know that it's right, is because we've already studied it in the Bible. And so we have the discernment to be able to go, okay, that seems like something the Holy Spirit would say. Does that make sense? That's a really good question, by the way. Any others? Off of that, let me say, since we don't have questions being asked, I would say, I was thinking about this morning, how as a culture, we are very, and this protects us in a certain way, as a culture, we are very anti-supernatural. Kind of like freaks us out to like think about a spirit inside of us speaking. Whereas there's other, most other cultures actually around the world, that's normal for them to think about spirits and interacting with spirits, and they don't have any resistance to that. Well, there's some protection in that for us, as we don't get carried away with it a lot of times, most of us. Whereas in other cultures, they can get really carried away with that and get into heresy and get into demonic stuff even. But we need to accept what the Bible says and not be resistant to what the Bible says. And the Bible is very, very, very clear that there's a Holy Spirit, that He lives, that He's God, that He lives inside of us, and He speaks from within us. And we should not suppress that. Can't think of the verse and book right off the top of my head, but he says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, right? So it's picturing the Holy Spirit like a fire, and it's like we shouldn't throw water on the Holy Spirit when He's trying to work. So a lot of us need to move more toward allowing the Holy Spirit to work rather than looking to suppress it. That's what we're mostly doing naturally, most of us as Americans. And let's each pray to close, to apply what we learned today. We take a moment and tell God, if you want to depend on the Holy Spirit, tell Him that, and that you don't want to worry about your ability to share Christ. And will you ask God now, if you're trying to fight your worry, will you ask Him to give you opportunity to share Christ? And would you even think of one non-Christian that you know and specifically ask God to give you opportunity with that person? Lord, I pray that we would be Your witnesses. You have left us here on earth in part for that task, to be Your witnesses. I pray that we would speak about Christ when we are given opportunity by You, when You open a door and You let us know at that hour that it's the time. We know Your truth, Your story. I pray that we would even learn it more and learn it better. I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring that truth to our remembrance when we need it, and that the Holy Spirit would help us to speak as we should. Please utilize us, Lord, to Your glory, to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we pray in His name. All those who agreed said, Amen.